Holy Father God, we will open your word and you will speak. May we listen and be changed. Father, may we listen and know you more. Your truths are eternal. The words of your Son, your truths in the Scriptures, they will prevail over unbelief. It will bring your saints to repentance and belief. And then it will bring your saints to greater degrees of holiness. May your word change us. May we see Christ. May we know you in your fullness, Father. Father, I pray for faithfulness as I would preach your word. Any words that I might say that aren't of you, may they disappear from my mind and may they not be heard. But Father, may the words that you have given us and the words that you have given me to speak that are of you and from you, may they deeply embed themselves in us. May we hide the truths of who you are in our hearts that we might not sin against you. Thank you for your word, and I thank you for this day and this time. You're glorious and mighty, and I love you. Amen. Good morning, Grace Fellowship Church. There's a question that I ask from time to time that I'm going to ask again this morning. My question is, why are you here today? My son Nicholas is here because there is a day that's been set aside in our culture called Mother's Day, and that's why he's here, which he just told me earlier as well. The question is, why are you here today? It's always a matter of perspective because here's the thing. I would say that from a providential perspective, I want everyone to hear this now because it's important. From a providential perspective, from the sovereignty of God's perspective, you're here by God's will. You are not. It's not an accident you're here. You are here in God's sovereign good pleasure. That's why you're here. And that's from His perspective. God planned for your attendance today. Anyone who's not here, in God's sovereign plan, they weren't to be here. But we don't get to presume on God's sovereign will. The question is, from your perspective, why are you here today? For me, it was a great reminder Friday night as we were doing our Behold Your God study. And the memory verse for the week was Psalm 27:8. When you said to me, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, will I seek. Beloved saints in this room, when God said to you, seek my face, your response, my heart said to you, your face I will seek. Seek His face. Are you here today, beloved saints, saying, your face, Lord, I will seek? In our prayer time, in our singing time, in this time we know for the Word, are you here to seek His face, to know Him more? The Apostle Paul, it's all rubbish. I count it all rubbish. It's all rubbish for the excellence of knowing Christ. All this, anything else. Are you here to know Christ, saints? To seek His face? We should be here to encounter Him. In our prayer, in our singing, in our listening to the Word of God preached. For those here today that don't know God, I want you to hear me. If you don't know God, if you're not reconciled to God, it's because you don't know Christ. Christ is the only way to your Creator. Nick's here for Mother's Day. Some of you are here. My encouragement to you that don't know God, you have to know Christ. Listen to who Christ is. It's your only hope. Your only hope is to know Christ that you might know God. Why are you here today? Saints, let's seek His face. Let's know Him more. Unrepented, unregenerate, sinners, lovers of self, look to Christ. You're going to hear of Christ today. Look to Christ. Open your Bibles to John chapter 8. We'll begin in verse 21 today and we'll go through verse 29. Remember the setting. We're at the last day, the great day of the Day of Tabernacles. Jesus has said that He is the source of living water. He is the source of light. Right in the middle of this Feast of Tabernacles, where they're having this great pompous ceremony about the pool of Siloam water, these big, huge candelabras that light up the whole temple and all of Jerusalem, He says, I am the source of living water, eternal life, rightness with God. I am the light of the world. I am the one who shines light on the temple. I am God, and I am the way to God. And remember, he's in the court of women. He's in a place where only Israelites can be. No Gentiles are in here. This is just Israelites. You have the common people, the Aklos, the ones that are from their outlying regions like Galilee. You have the Jews that are from right there in Judea and in Jerusalem, the more religious Jews. And then you have the leaders. You have the leadership, the Sanhedrin. You have the Sadducees and the Pharisees, all inside of this area that's just for the Israelites. You have the temple guards that are Levitical priesthood trained. You have Nicodemus who's starting to now wonder and voice and maybe trying to help the cause of Jesus. And you have these leaders, these Jewish leaders, the elite, the Sanhedrin, that are losing power. You have people that are divided and starting to mumble about who Christ might be inside of this place that's just the Israelites. They're losing control and they don't like it. Please stand now as we read chapter 8, verses 21 through 29. These Jewish leaders, they wanted Him dead. It wasn't His time. And remember, we looked last week, Jesus just keeps pressing in, no compromise. He just keeps proclaiming the truth to them. He keeps piling it on. We see the same thing in today's passage, John chapter 8, verse 21. Then Jesus said to them again, I am going away, and you will seek me and will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. So the Jews said, will He kill Himself because He says, where I go, you cannot come? And He said to them, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are of the world, I am not of this world. Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. Then they said to Him, who are you? And Jesus said to them, just what I have been saying to you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge concerning you, but He who sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I heard from Him. They didn't understand that He spoke to them of the Father. Then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And He who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please Him. You may be seated. Remember, this is the word of God given so that his elect people may know him. So Jesus continues to proclaim the truth of who he is. Here he warns the listeners, if they don't believe him, they will die in their sins. And they can't go to where he's going because he is not of this world. He is not of this world. Look, many things we're going to look at today, but I want us to remember that God, Jesus, God the Son, is not of this world. And every single human being ever created is of this world. He is from above, and we are from beneath. Remember that as we go through this passage today. In verse 19, what we just came through last week, then they said to him, where is your father? Remember, Jesus said, my father is a witness for me. He's the second witness. And then they mock him and say, they throw out their red herring, where's your father? They're asking, where's your earthly father? Where's the guy you're saying will testify? I don't see him. Where's your daddy, Joseph? Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my father. If you had known me, and you would have known my Father also. These words Jesus spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no one laid hands on him, for his hour had not yet come. Amongst this all-Jewish audience, in the middle of the last day of this great celebration, Jesus is telling the top-end, most religious, elite, righteous, self-righteous men on the planet, in front of this whole Jewish audience, he's telling them they don't know God. That was their whole life to know God. He says, you don't know God. So they wanted him dead. But it was not yet his time, so no one grabbed him. Now it seems wise, doesn't it? Seems if you're going to be wise as a serpent, as gentle as a dove, if you're Jesus, it's time to back off. Doesn't wisdom say to stop pressing in? Certainly not. Jesus gives them more condemnation. More condemnation. Then Jesus said to them again, I am going away and you will seek me and will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. Once I'm gone, you're gonna eventually seek me. It'll be too late. You'll die in your sin. You cannot come where I'm going. You're going to seek me. It's going to be too late. This is the same thing, remember, he had said a few days ago in the middle of the week at the Feast of Tabernacles, John 7, 33, 34. Then Jesus said to them, I shall be with you a little while longer, and then I go to him who sent me. You will seek me and not find me, and where I am, you cannot come. What's he mean by that? This seek me and not find me. He said it to them twice now. It means that they were dying. And when they died, they were going to see their need for a Savior, but it was going to be too late. Trouble was going to come. They were going to seek him, and he's going to be in heaven, and they can't go. It'll be too late. Everyone turn to Proverbs 1. Proverbs chapter 1. In your bulletin it says verse 23, but I'm going to start in verse 20. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20. I want you to listen how apropos this is to this moment we're in when Jesus is in the court speaking to these Jews and he's telling them the truth. Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses. At the openings of the gates in the city, she speaks her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. This is exactly what these men were doing. They were mocking him and scorning him. And he's telling them the truth. Verse 23, turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded. because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. Because they hated knowledge, and they did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despise my every rebuke. Look at what he's saying. The same thing he's telling them here. If you don't believe me, you're going to die in your sins. I'm going away, and you're going to seek me. I want everyone in here who doesn't know God through Christ, there's going to be a day when you are going to be begging, seeking, and it will be too late. Wisdom is calling out right now. The truth is being told to you. Every person will come to a day when calamity strikes. I think in the temporal, and I think about this very audience that Jesus is talking to right here, telling them what's going to happen in AD 70 with most of them still being alive. Jerusalem is going to be destroyed. The temple destroyed forever. Can you imagine how they're saying, God, help us? And God's laughing at their calamity. And then the eternal, they're going to stand before God and be judged. It's going to happen to everyone. It is appointed for man to die once and then face judgment. And by the way, everyone will confess that he is Lord at that point, won't they? Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Every one of you in here today who doesn't know God through Jesus Christ, you will bow and you will confess that he is Lord, and he will mock you and he will laugh at your calamity. When terror strikes like a whirlwind, you will seek him diligently. This is who God is. Terror comes, people seek Christ. He'll be nowhere to be found. The Pharisees would have known these proverbs. The Pharisees would have known this proverb 1 that we just looked at. They knew what it meant to reject wisdom. But they simply just thought they had all the wisdom. They didn't need any more wisdom. So these Pharisees would have been sitting here understanding Proverbs 1, but thinking they already obtained all the wisdom. Now the Sadducees, remember, they didn't use the entire Old Testament. They only looked at the Pentateuch. Even they knew the penalty for rejecting God. In chapter 28 of Deuteronomy, that's where you see chapter 27 and 28, you see the saints go on the two mounts as they go through, and their curses are judgment, and the blessings from one mountain and the curses come from the other mountain. And then in chapter 28, Moses is telling them the curses for those who don't listen and obey the voice of God. Here's what it says in Deuteronomy 28, verse 28. The Lord will strike you with madness and blindness and confusion of heart. And you shall grope at noonday as a blind man gropes in darkness. You shall not prosper in your ways. You shall only be oppressed and plundered continually. And no one shall save you. There would be no salvation for these Jews who were rejecting wisdom as it was crying out in the temple court that day. And there would be no salvation for these Jews who were disobeying God's command to believe in his Son and live. This is really clear. I'm going away. And when I do, you're going to seek me. And you will not be able to find me. And where I go, you cannot come. Because wisdom is crying aloud, and you are ignoring it. You won't turn at my rebuke. Judgment is being poured out on you. You're being told. You're being commanded by God. You must obey the word of God. And the word of God, I am telling you, Jesus says, believe in me. No salvation. So how do these Jews respond with this crystal clear admonishment? So the Jews said, will he kill himself? Because he says, where I go, you cannot come? More mockery. We see more mockery from these Jews. These Jews, these religious elite, they mock Jesus just as they'd done midweek. Midweek when Jesus made the same claim. Remember in John 7:35? Then the Jews said among themselves, where does he intend to go that we shall not find him? Does he intend to go to the dispersion among the Greeks and teach the Greeks? In other words, midweek when they had heard the exact same thing, that he was going to go away and they couldn't go where he comes, they come back and say, is he going to go out of Israel where we have no authority? Is that what he's going to do? Going to go and hide out with the pagans in the pagan lands with the others who have left the promised land, left Judaism? Is that where he's going to go? This time he says, where I go, you cannot come. This time the response is, will he kill himself? We have to know about what he kill himself. So in Judaism, the darkest places in Hades were reserved for those that killed themselves, those that committed suicide. So what they thought is, we know we're going to go to heaven. We know we're right with God because we are Jews. And we know that anybody who kills themselves are going to be in the darkest places of Hades. Josephus, the first century historian, he wrote this: the souls of those hands who have acted madly against themselves are received by the darkest places in Hades. So when they mock Jesus by saying, what? You're going to go, where you're going, we can't come. Why? You're going to kill yourself and you're going to go to the darkest places of Hades? The irony of their mocking is incredible to me. Here they are saying, what? Are you going to kill yourself? In a way, Jesus allows himself to die, doesn't he? But who kills him? These very people are saying, what, you're going to kill yourself? Peter's preaching to these same Jews on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2:23. Him, Jesus, being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death. Not only was Jesus not going to commit suicide and go to the darkest places in Hades, separated from these heaven-bound Jews, they thought, these Jews, hell-bent on denying Jesus, were going to be the ones murdering him and taking his life. The Jews mock him. What's he going to do? Commit suicide? Go to Hades where we can't go? Jesus responds thusly, verse 23, and he said to them, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Jesus says, I am of another world. I am of another world. Jesus tells them he's about to be taken above, and they're from beneath. They are worldly, he is heavenly. The difference, remember I said before, the difference of Jesus being of another world and that mankind is part of the world, it's a big deal. Jesus is from where we want to go, not from earth. Jesus is from where we want to go. We're not. Remember when Jesus was talking to his brothers about this world? And they wanted him to go with him. Remember the beginning of this Feast of the Tabernacles? His brothers wanted him to go with him, with them, and travel up or down to Jerusalem, and up to Jerusalem. And he said, no. No. He talked about the world, John 7:7. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify of it that its works are evil. The world hated Jesus because he was from heaven, perfect in every way, and he testified with his life and with his words that the works of those in the world were evil. John 1:10, he, Jesus, was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. God the Son, who made the world, lived in the world, and the world did not know him. The Jews, like all mankind, were from this world, from beneath. He was from heaven, so they did not know him. They couldn't have had an intimate knowledge of him because they were from earth and he was from heaven. John 3:19, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. The people of the world love darkness. They love their sin. Their condemnation is the rejection of the light of the world, Jesus Christ. The deeds of those from beneath are evil. He is perfect. He is heavenly. He is from above. They are from beneath. That includes all of our congregation this morning. Everyone in here. We are from beneath. He is from above. Without him, we can't go where he's going. Matthew 13:22, in the parable of the soils, describing bad soil, the hell-bound people. Now he received the seed among the thorns, he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. The cares of this world cause people to reject the seed of the gospel. People love the world and its cares. If you love the world and its cares, it does not matter what your mouth says. If you love the world and its cares, then you are rejecting the seed of the gospel, and you are from this world, and you are still in this world. When Philip and Andrew told Jesus that there were some Greeks that come to see him just before he's going to die, Matthew 16:26, for what profit is it to man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? The Jews that he was talking to were all about the things of the world. Jesus was all about going back to heaven and taking anyone who believed in him with him. He didn't worry about, concern himself with these Greeks. Well, I can get a couple more Greeks saved. It's my time. I'm going to model not caring about my life. I'm going to model caring about getting back to heaven. I'm going to model the things of heaven, the beauties of heaven. At the Last Supper, after the Last Supper, when Jesus is talking to the 11, John chapter 15, verse 18. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you are of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Those from beneath, those from the world, hate those from above, those in Christ. Just as the world hated him. Are you from beneath? Are you from above? See, beloved, because he is not of this world, then we are not of this world. Because his focus was not on the temporal but the eternal, our focus is not on the temporal but rather the eternal. Because we're from above, the world hates us. If you're from beneath, then the world loves its own. See, Jesus is telling them, I'm leaving. Soon. 6 months. I'm gone. And then you're going to seek me. And you can't find me, and you cannot go where I'm going. Because you are from beneath. You are from the world. I am from above. I am from heaven. You can't bring this garbage up there. See, now you know why Catholics have purgatory. It's a great concept. You get to keep loving the world, and then you get to burn it all off and still go to heaven. It's too late. You die in the physical, you will not be able to, you will seek him and you will not find him. Paul admonishes the brethren, look, because as we hear this, now remember, because Jesus is not of the world, beloved, we're not of the world. If we're going to go where he is, then that's our citizenship. That's where we're from. Ephesians 2, verse 2, in which once you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. You all, he's saying to these believers, you all once walked according to the course of this world, listening to Satan. Among whom also we once conducted ourselves, we all used to, past tense, we once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Those of the world conduct themselves according to the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the things our flesh want and our minds tell us we need or that we strongly desire. Pleasure, wealth, comfort, status, health, wealth, prosperity. Do you see how the prosperity gospel is such a damnable heresy? It's the exact opposite of what Christ teaches. To the saints in Colossae, he says this in Colossians 2, verse 6, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Do you see how the principles of the world are completely juxtaposed to those of Christ? Those in Christ, not of the world, will walk in him, abounding with thanksgiving. Those of the world will live out of their life out of the traditional traditions and philosophies of the world, worldly thinking, pragmatism, earthly focused living. See, remember who Jesus was talking to, very religious people, extremely religious people who loved the world. You're from beneath. I'm from above. Big difference. You cannot go where I'm coming. Caleb, you cannot go where he's going outside of Christ. No different, Jack, than you cannot go where Christ is going. And you will not unless you turn because you're outside of Christ. You're no different. Caleb knows he needs Christ. You don't. Look at this. It can't be more clear, beloved. James 4:4. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. This is crystal clear. Is it not? Friendship with the world is enmity with God. Jesus was hated by those in the world. He didn't desire friendship. Is he talking like a man who desired these people's friendship? As he's pouring out more and more condemnation, telling them they don't know God, that their religion is worthless and useless. John's warning in 1 John 2. 1 John 2, verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, The love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. See how the will of God is completely juxtaposed from the love of the things of this world? If you're going to go where he is, then you're not from beneath. You too are from above. Second Corinthians 7, verse 10, for godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted. But the sorrow of the world produces death. People who are of the world, all mankind outside of Christ, they experience sorrow for their mistakes. They experience sorrow for their sins. People of the world, people from beneath, have sorrow that's leading to death because they go right like pigs and they go right back to their slop, right back to their vomit. Sorry. Right back to it. Those in Christ, those now from above, have sorrow that leads to a changed life. That runs away from a love of self, feeding of the flesh, self-preservation and self-protection. Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Paul is telling the Roman saints, do not be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind so you can know what God's will is. Because if you're from beneath, if you're from beneath, you cannot go where he is going. Saints, we are not to be conformed to this world. If we're conformed to this world, we're not in Christ. We're to be different, much different, completely different, 180 degrees different than the world. Ephesians 2:12, that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. What do those in the world have? No hope. They're without God. Outside of the promises. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. We have been brought near to God by the love of Christ, no longer without hope and without God. So Jesus from above, we've been brought near. We now will be from above. We are from above. We are no longer of this earth. We are different than these Jews he's talking to that day at the Feast of the Tabernacles. Jesus is from above, as are all of those who are in him. Our citizenship is in heaven. Those are the rules we follow. Those are the laws we live by. First John 4, they, false prophets, are of the world. Therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Only those who are of God can know the truth of Christ. Everyone else is in the world and can't understand. All false prophets, all false religions focus on the world. What do they focus on? Good deeds, good works, Self-righteousness. Taking the world for Allah. The world. Those who are in Christ are no longer in the world. We are no longer from beneath. We are now from above, chosen by God. And now we are at enmity with the world. See, this is a big deal because even in this local assembly where I'm hoping we continue to know God more, there's way too often where we believe that being friends with the world, that the world not being at enmity to the world is okay. It's not. When you're from above, you will not be a friend of the world. You will be an enemy. You don't have to go out and make enemies. You don't have to try to go out and make enemies. Quite frankly, we're out doing the opposite. We're out trying to make fellowship. We're out trying to preach the gospel, hoping that all men we talk to would be saved. We're trying to create peace between them and God, which will bring peace between us and them. But there's this complete juxtaposition of the world from being beneath and from being above. And that's what he's telling them. John 15:19 again. If you were of the world would love its own. Because if you were, look, if you were of the world, Kevin, then the world's going to love you. Callie, the world's going to love you if you're of the world. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Does the world love you? Really, does it? Do you try to make them love you? Really, do you? The world, those who are still without Christ, will hate the chosen of God. This is the truth. See, in this temple court, talking to these religious leaders, in earshot of everyone, these folks didn't hate them. They all loved one another. They all liked what they could give them. The only one in that courtyard that day that was different was Jesus. They wanted Barabbas back instead of Jesus when they got at the Feast of Passover. At the Passover, they got to take a prisoner every year. They wanted Barabbas, a murderer. So much they hated Jesus, who had done nothing except spoke the truth, showed them their evil, called them to repentance and to faith. Does the world love you? Do you try to make the world love you? Back to the passage. Jesus said to them again, I am going away and you will seek me and will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. So the Jews said to him, will he kill himself? Because he says, where I go, you cannot come. And he said to them, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Therefore, because of that, because you are from beneath, because you are of this world, therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. You will die in your sins if you do not believe that I am God. Believe I am or die in your sins. Believe I am or die in your sins. Jesus makes another ego I me statement here. I am. Therefore, I said to you, you die in your sins if you do not believe that I am, ego, I, me. And the he, if you notice, is italicized because it wasn't in the text. If you not believe that I am, ego, I, me, you'll die in your sins. Comes back from Exodus chapter 3 like we've looked at before. Now Moses asks, what am I going to say to these Israelites when I go and tell them who sent me? Exodus 3:13. Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? As your spokesman to Israel, Moses is saying, who will I say sent me? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Just as Moses says, I am sent me, Jesus said, my Father sent me, God himself, and I am the voice of God, and I am God. Just like your forefathers, Moses told them who sent them, and you believe that, God sent him, the great I am. Jesus says, I am the voice of God, just like Moses was the voice of God. And just like your fathers rejected the voice of Moses, the voice of God through Moses, you are rejecting the voice of God through me. Therefore, you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. If you don't believe Jesus is God and follow his command to turn from your sin and believe in him for your salvation, believe in him alone, then you will die in your sins. If you don't believe Jesus is God and follow his command to turn from your sin and believe in him, you too will die in your sins. Look at John 3:18. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. If you die in your sin of unbelief and your sins as you love the world, it is because you haven't believed in the name of Jesus, the monogenes, the one and only of God. If you don't believe that Jesus is God, then you will die in your sins. John 3:36. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Your sins of disobedience to God's laws and your sin of unbelief in Jesus keeps the wrath of God on you. It's already there. Remember, belief removes wrath. That means the wrath presupposes wrath is already there. Here's your understanding. You'll die in your sins. He says sin in the singular up there, and then he says sins in the plural a little bit lower, sin of unbelief and your sins of disobeying God's laws. So you are going to die in your sins of disobeying God's laws, and you are going to die in your sin of unbelief, and you are not going to be able to go where he is unless you believe in him. And you believe you're a law-breaking sinner under the wrath of God, and you believe that you need a Savior, and you believe Jesus Christ was God himself that came down to live in the flesh, lived a perfectly sinless life, went to the cross and died a sinner's death, was buried, raised from the dead 3 days later. Then he ascended and sits at the right hand of the Father. Unless you believe that, you're going to die in your sins. Your sins of breaking God's law and your sin of unbelief in Christ. Ephesians 2:1, and you, saints at Ephesus and all saints of all time, he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Christ makes the dead man live. Anyone in here who does not believe Jesus is God and that he's the only way to eternal life is dead in their sins and will stay that way. You are dead in your sins, under the wrath of God, headed for eternal punishment. And unless you believe in Jesus Christ, the God of the Scriptures, then you will die in that sin forever, separated from God. And you will seek him, and it will be too late. Colossians 2:13, as you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he is made alive together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses. All of your sins are forgiven in Christ. No Christ equals dead in sins and will stay dead in sins and headed for eternal punishment. 2 Corinthians 5:9, therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. For we must all appear before this judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive, listen, each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Everybody will stand in front of the judgment seat of Christ and receive judgment based on their deeds, whether what they had done was good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, because we know that's true. And it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are all well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your consciences. Everyone's going to receive judgment for what they've done, good or bad. And what has everyone done? Bad. No good. So what's everyone's destiny? Wrath, judgment, hell. Where's our only hope? In Christ. The difference between me and Matt is I'll stand before God for judgment, all the things I've done, good or bad, I will be seen as Christ and all he ever did was good. You, Matt, will stand in front of God at judgment day. You will stand in front of the judgment seat of Christ and you will be judged for your good and bad. And while in the flesh, you've lived a lot more good from a worldly perspective than I have, you're damned to hell. Because I'm seen as the righteousness of Christ, you're seen for your life. And unless you believe that, you're going to die in those sins. And you can mock and you can laugh and you can not pay attention all you want. You get up and walk out of the room and go to the bathroom and drink coffee and pay no attention. And you will die in your sin of lawlessness towards God and unbelief in Christ. And you will spend eternity separated from your Creator in agony where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to them again, I'm going away and you will seek me and will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. So the Jews said, will he kill himself because he says, where I go, cannot come? And he said to them, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am, you will die in your sins. I am from above. You are from beneath. You will die in your sins without me. And here's the response he gets. Then they said to him, who are you? Really? Really, that's their response? Who are you? He can't be more clear. He is the source of living water. He is the light of life. He is God. He is the only way people can be delivered from the power and penalty of sin. That's who he is. But you know what? They asked this ridiculous question, who are you? And because Jesus came to seek and save the lost, because Nicodemus was in that crowd amongst maybe a few others, he was going to do what he came to do until the day he died, and that was to proclaim the good news that salvation was in him. Jesus explains his deity again. He explains his deity again. They said, who are you? And Jesus said to them, just what I've been saying to you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true. I could tell you all kinds of stuff about you, but I'm not gonna. I speak to the world of the things which I heard from him. Here's my answer. It's the same as it's always been. From the day I started witnessing of myself, I am the deliverer of God's message. I am the Son of God. I am the source of living water. I am the light of the world. I am from heaven, sent by God himself. Same answer I gave to Nicodemus a year earlier too. John 3:10, Jesus answered and said to him, are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I've told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven. That is the Son of Man who is in heaven. I am he who came from heaven to show the people the way to be reconciled to their Creator. Same answer I've been giving. John 3:32, and what he has seen and heard, that he testifies. And no one receives his testimony. He who has received his testimony is certified that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God does not give the Spirit by measure. Jesus says to them, I am here speaking to the world the things the Father told me to say. John 5:30, I can do nothing, myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. John 7:16, Jesus answered and said to them, "My doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me." John 8:16, "And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me." "Who are you?" these Jews ask. "I'm the Messiah. I'm the Savior. I'm sent by God himself. I am the Word of God." They didn't understand that he spoke to them of the Father. Then Jesus said to them, why didn't they understand? They didn't have eyes to see or ears to hear. And they loved their sin. They loved their religion. They loved their self-righteousness. Then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father taught me, I speak these things, and he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do the things that please him. When you hang me on that tree, when you witness the unjust penalty that I received, when you see me die without resistance, you will know I'm from the Father. When you see me raised from the dead on the third day, you're going to know what I'm telling you is true. And guess what? You're going to seek me. And guess what else? You're not going to find me, because you can't go where I'm going. You'll know when you lift me up on that tree. You know when you put me to death. You know when I don't die without resistance. You know when I raise from the dead. You know when I ascend into heaven. You'll know. And it'll be too late. Just like he had told Nicodemus, just as the serpent was lifted up, so will the Son of Man be. John chapter 8. Verses 21 through 29. Then Jesus said to them again, I am going away, and you will seek me, and will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. So the Jews said, will he kill himself because he says, where I go, you cannot come? And he said to them, you are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Then they said to him, who are you? Jesus said to them, just what I've been saying to you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I heard from him. They didn't understand that he spoke to them of the Father. Then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do the things that please him. Closing thought. Jesus is not of this world. And all mankind is. Jesus is not of this world. And all mankind is. If we do not believe in him, we will die in our sins and never go where he is. If we do not believe in him, that state that all mankind is in, of the world, and therefore listen to their father, the other, of the world from beneath, living out of darkness, living out of sin. If we don't believe in Christ, then we will die in our sins and never go where he is. In heaven. Have you stopped trusting in yourself and believed on Christ? Have you stopped trusting in yourself? Are you of the world? Have you stopped trusting in your own wisdom, wise in your own eyes, doing what seems right in your eyes? Living based on your knowledge, or do you immerse yourself in the Word of God? Are you from above that you live from above? You live in Christ. Are you of this world? Does the world love you or does the world hate you? Do you love the world or do you hate the world? The ways of men. Do you hate them or love them? You know, we're in this country, so I have to say it. The American dream. Do you love that? See, I know. I loved the world. I was in perfect agreement with the world. And now it's most of these things of the world disgust me. Not as much as will tomorrow, I'm sure. And much of the world hates me. Glory to God. And I'm not even trying to be hated. Quite frankly, I'm just trying to love. I'm trying to be my Savior. Gracious Heavenly Father, your Son is not of this world. He is from above where we can't go outside of him. We can only go because of him. Father, help us, cause us to consider if we are not of this world. Like Jesus, we get in environments, we keep pressing the truth, or do we backpedal for fear? Do we practice friendship with the world? Do we desire that? Help us to consider, are we encouraged when the world hates us, or are we discouraged? Are we affirmed, or are we downtrodden? That we could be like Christ, living in him and through him and for him. Amen.